everything I wanted. I didn't realize that God was in my life, and the very same chapter, and the people that know me really, and the same life, and the people of the same chapter. And I think that I believe all my heart, God gave this message right to us. And I'm praying that this verse occurs right before verse 7. And I want you to listen real carefully.
Wounded in battle. Those that used to sing in the choir, but no longer sing in the choir. Those that used to carry a Bible, no longer have a Bible under their arms. Them that used to be faithful to church and be a blessing to others, but somehow or another have got thrilled and fell in the muck and the mire and the slough and the sponge and the sin of idleness and the intention and failed by the wayside. Those cast sheep, those stray lambs, those that are fallen in the race for Jesus Christ. I want us to think about them. And you know, I love to see new people come into church. It thrills my soul to stand up here on Sunday morning or back there and see people walk in that door that I ain't never seen before. That's a thrill to any pastor's heart when you see these people come in on Sunday morning. Lift that one under this arm and one under this arm and say, "Preacher, I'd like you to meet so and so." That's a thrill to a preacher's heart. You know, a Christian can be happy and be sad at the same time. And many times, even though I'm shouting because of the new blood and the new souls that come in and the people that come to the altar and get saved, many times my heart's hurting, my stomach's sick, my soul's aching over those that used to be in serving God but are not here, that are not here, they're not here. Every church has got them. Every church has got them. Every church has got those who used to have the victory, who used to be on fire for God. Oh, I don't know what to say tonight. I don't know what to say. This thing's eaten me up. For the last few weeks, brother, this thing's been on me so heavy. It's been coming on now for quite a while. I believe something needs to be done about it. I believe we as a church need to have a heart toward those that are falling. I'm talking about the pastor, but I'm down to the smallest youngest in my house tonight. I'm talking about me. You know, I've never been the type of person. I've always been the type of person that I've been hard. And a lot of times I'll be walking with a brother, and that brother will fall and backslide. And it's the hardest thing in the world for me to have the right attitude towards that brother. Because the flesh don't like it. When somebody else falls and you don't fall, it's the most natural thing in the world to go over and put your foot down on them and mash them on down, Father. It's just natural. I mean, it's something that we're going to have to, it's something that we need. Listen, there'd probably be 50 more people in this room tonight if we as a church had acted toward those that have fallen the way we should have acted. All I've had them tell me time after time. Brother Danny, I said, "Why did you quit church?" And they said, "Well, I went back a time or two, and everybody looked at me like I was the awfulest thing in the world, and nobody spoke to me. I had to sit by myself. They didn't invite me back. They didn't let me." Now, I know that a lot of times that's unintentional. And I tell you, brother, that's something a church needs to be conscious about. That's something, I mean, when a man's down, brother, he needs somebody to lift him up. When a woman's down, they need somebody to pick him up, not put him on down further. I've been guilty of it. I've had to repent of it, and God's convicted my heart. A lot of times I'll say, "Well, bless God, they know what they ought to do. They ought to get in there and straighten up." And that's true. But that's no way for us to act toward them. Because the Bible says you better consider yourself. You ought to be in the same mess I am one day if you ain't awful careful. I think the Church of Jesus tonight as a whole has the wrong attitude towards backsliding. Those that are messed up and sick. Put down our long, super spiritual noses at them. As if to say, "Well, you dirty, good for nothing thing. You're a sinner and I'm not a sinner. You fell and I didn't fall." I tell you, if I'm walking down the road and me and Brother Dale walking down the road here, I'm looking at Jesus, he's looking at me. All of a sudden, he falls down flat. If I start looking at him, what am I going to do? I'm going to pray. And the Bible says, "Consider thyself, lest thou also be tempted." And Mr. Bryant, what he's saying is, if we don't have the right attitude for those that are fallen, we're liable to fall. We're liable to fall worse than me. I'm going to say tonight, I can't stand this big eye in you. Sickness is not a God. This attitude of, "I'm better than you are, I'm holier than you are," that's an abomination of God. Brother, it's sickness in the sight of God. This big eye, little you, Christianity, where if you're not in the inner group, I say, that thing's almost happened here a few times. By the grace of God, we're not going to turn this thing into a bunch of clicks. You know what? You know why an average person can't feel welcome in most churches? Because most churches got little cliques. And this little group hangs around their friends. And this little group hangs around their friends. They got a certain little set of ideas. This other's got a certain little set of ideas. And brother, they shun one another. They walk over on the other side and keep shaking each other's hands. And brother, just full of the devil, full of the devil. And claim they're ready to sprout wings and fly away. And can't even get along with somebody that ain't the same kind of shoestring they've got. I want to show you a few places in the Bible tonight. I've been illustrating this verse. I don't even know if I've ever heard anybody preach. Lord, give me this message. I wrote most of this down. This ain't in my house. Turn your Bible to the book of Luke, chapter 15. The story of the prodigal son. I've heard sermon after sermon after sermon on the prodigal son. And briefly, let me recount the story right quick. Now listen, this message ain't going to be his eye catching, his ear catching, his tongue. So y'all listen on purpose. Listen. The prodigal son ran away from home. Him and his brother, probably when he started the same room with his growing up, they had families pretty well off. And his brother was older than he was the younger. And somehow or other, this boy got to thinking, he got to listen to the radio and read the magazines and hear about the far country. He decided he wanted to go. And so he forsook the family, forsook his brother, forsook his daddy, forsook his mother, forsook the homeland, and went off to a far country and wasted his substance with riotous living. Now the other boy stayed home with his father. His other boy stayed right with his daddy and worked hard for his daddy. Now, somebody in here tell me what that's a picture of. That's a picture of two Christians serving God. And one of them, now you can make that a type of all kinds of things, I'm just using it in this thing. One of them goes off and messes up his life. The other one stays with the Father. I want you to notice the attitude this elder brother has towards his younger brother when that boy comes home. How many girls boys been out there in the slot and in the hog filth? And he's been out there and had old hog vomit man all over himself and his hair's laid together and his stomach like a hog fish. And here he's coming in there like this. And the father seen him afar off and came and threw his arms around his neck. That's the father. That's the father. I don't think the rest of the family did that. Ain't you glad God don't treat that slider like we treat him? I mean, ain't you glad the father didn't step here and say, well, I'll see if you mean business before I put my arms around you. Get that mess cleaned up. I ain't have no fellowship with you. Get that puke out of your hair. How do you get you some clean clothes on? Why somebody seen me out here running around you and you dress like that? For the father, his love overcame his hatred of his sin. His love overcame his the way that boy had lived. He didn't approve of it. He didn't like it. But I tell you, his love overcomes what that boy had done. And so the Lord ran and threw his arms around his neck and hugged him and put a ring on his finger and killed a fat cat. And then went to the safe house and then had a music playing. And then had a wonderful time and singing in that. I don't know if you remember this about this story. And the little boy came back and got my house. Look at verse 25. All right, now there's several things that jumped out at me in this text. Verse 25. Let's read the whole verse. Now his elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music in the day. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things mean. Well, I'll read that again. Here he comes. He's been out in the field working. He hears a big celebration going on at the house. He says, what's going on over there? They say, your brother's come home. Your brother's come home. And his daddy's having a party for him. What are you talking about? What are you in a party? Well, let's get another story. Look at verse 25. Let's go on a little closer. It's the word of God now, and it comes in itself for you. Watch it close. You got a pencil? Mark these words. Now he is elder. What does that mean? Anybody know? That means he's older than that guy, right? He has been with the Father longer than that guy has. Stop right there. Here's a man that has been saved longer than this other guy has. The longer you've been saved, the more chances and possibility are you committing this sin I'm talking about. Most of the time, young Christians will accept each other pretty good, but you've been saved a while. You forgot where God brought you from. You forgot how low down sorry you were before God saved your soul. The elder! And then I want you to notice something else. That's the next word. Son. He's a Christian. Oh, yeah! He's a Christian. Look here. Was in the field. He's doing something for his father. He's out in the field. He's out getting the job done. I tell you, the most likely people to commit this sin tonight that I'm talking about are elder, established Christians that are in the field doing something. Those that are soul winners. Those that are witnessing on the job. Those that are trying to live a dedicated life. Those that are maybe working on buses or maybe teaching Sunday school. That are preaching or that are deacons. That's for you young preachers. You're the most likely bunch in here to commit this sin. That'd be the easiest thing in the world. You've been out here sweating, laboring for God. I'm going to hear on something right here. You hear me? I'm going to hear on something right here. You know what it's like? It's almost like, well, here I have been out working in the field and everything, and he gets to go out there and do all them sins that I don't get to do. And have this attitude of life. Good enough, they've been out back sweating, drunk, smoking pot, and everything else. And when they come back to church, everybody makes a big to-do over them. And I've been serving God all these years, and they ain't never give me a party. Amen. Amen. I'll tell you tonight, brother, that's a shift. That's just a bit of his attitude for his brother. Well, that's what he said. He's been in the field, man. He's been out getting a job done for his day. And drew him out of the house, and he heard. And he heard. Don't tell me the same thing about it nowadays. Well, I've heard that so-and-so was indecent in that church. And I heard that they done this, that they done that, if they could still be indecent in that church, or if Brother Daniel still let that guy free, or he let her teach after what she done, blah, 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 he heard. He heard. I heard this, I heard that, and he heard me. Music didn't dance. Now listen, he heard me now rejoicing in the living life. I'll say something now. The Lord, you back me up. There's something wrong with a Christian that don't like to hear rejoicing. There's something wrong. There's something wrong. I mean, if they don't like rejoicing and the victory and people seeing people getting right, brother, there's something wrong. There's something. I don't know what it is. I couldn't put my finger on it. I'll guarantee you one thing, brother. When they hear that music and they something wrong. You heard music today? And look here, what he does. And he called one of the things. Underline that word, called. You didn't know that was in there, did you? Call. As soon as he found out what was going on, he went straight to that telephone. That's one of the most ungodly things. You think? I mean, we talk about television, man. It ain't them high school kids than some church of telephones now. You know, they don't say telephone, telegraph, telewoman. About the same thing. I tell you, brother, it's telephone. Them telephones have been used to stir up more hell than most churches than a lot of things ever have. He was in such a hurry, he passed up the one and left the dial and got his digital phone. And he went, "Ee-dee-dee-dee," and called one. He said, "Oh, he didn't do that. Why, let it take it in." This is an elementary interpretation, but it's literal, and I'm using it symbolically to help you. I'm not giving you theological discourse, this story. I'm giving you an inspirational preaching message off of it. He saw one of them and asked, "What?" Hey, girl. discussed. I heard that so-and-so had come back home. And I heard it's just making a big to-do over him. And I heard music and dancing in the house. And I heard Daddy's sick state and everything else. And making a big fuss over him, put a ring on his finger and a robe on his feet. And I tell you, I've been down at that church for a long time. Is this true? Did you tell me if this is... He might put a rope on his feet. He might need to wipe his feet off. He put the rope on somewhere. And he put a ring on his finger. And a hat on his head. All right. And he said, and I even heard they're going to restore him in his position. And what I heard, what does this mean? Yeah, I know. Low down, sly thing. Left me with all the work to do. Deserted me. He's supposed to be my helper in the Sunday school class. And he deserted me. Find that place to be living down there with harlot. And looking like a devil. And shooting pool and hitting ball. And everything else. I think I'll kick him out. Well, I'm going to Number 28, and he was and would not go. He wouldn't go in. He wouldn't go in. My poor ain't going there. I ain't going. Now, who was he hurting? Was he hurting the brother? Was he hurting the father? Was he hurting the state? Was he hurting the good meal that he should have been eating? He wasn't hurting it, none. He wasn't hurting the salad. He wasn't hurting the air-conditioned house. He wasn't hurting nothing.
Anytime you let something make you mad and keep you out of bed, you're not going to be the one that's suffering. You're not going to be the one that's suffering. The bank would not go in. And so Daddy had to go bathe him a little bit. Verse 28, therefore came his father and entreated him. Here he left his father had it, he said, well, this is how he said it. And he actually said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve you. Talk about that.
Daddy, I've been serving you for many years. He was, the two words in his verse, I and you. What? These many years do I Jesus prayed and blessed, at any time thou commandest. And yet thou never gavest me a fear that I might make merry with my friends. Tell me like the old boy struck on his neck. Tell me like all he's worried about himself. He don't care that his brother's back home safe and sound. He don't care that the evil beast didn't kill his brother. He don't care if he's out of jail down yonder when he's feeding the swine and husk in his bag. He wanted and cared about with his father's face.
I'm saying that to you. We've been good. I said we have been guilty of when somebody sins and everything, look down at them and not even care about them. And they said, well, I said, well, I'm going to do it. And I just can't get myself to me. And I pay my tithe, and I fast once in a while, and I do this, and I do that, and I do this, and I do that, and I do this. That's what's probably wrong with most people in this room right now. You quit worrying about your brothers and sisters, and all you think about is you, how pitiful you are, how hard you're having it, how everybody ought to be nice to you. He was mad because they wasn't eating him up, and what he ought to been doing is in there hugging his brother, who had sinned. He said, Brother David, what are you trying to say? I'm just trying to say, when somebody sins, don't look down on them. You're going to be a friend to them. Don't be a snob. Don't walk by them and not shake their hand. My brother, I really don't blame some people for quitting church the way they're treated by a lot of Christians.
You say, well, they shouldn't have done it. I know they shouldn't have done it. You better watch it. You ought to do something worse.
You never gave me a party. If I can make married with my friends. Look what he said in verse 30. But as soon as this thy son was come, he didn't say my brother.
Soon as he comes, He ain't my brother. He's a Christian. I ain't one. We have to devour thy living with harlots. I mean, we can be saved and devour your living with harlots.
Now that's still for him to say, he's saved. And the father looked at him and said, you listen, you that hit me back to you, you listen. And he said to him, son, thou art able to listen to me, and all that I have. It was me. He said, it's a right thing to do. It was for my grandmother. For my brother is dead. He's alive again. This summer is dead. He's alive again. He's lost.
Hating people is like burning down your house.
Get rid of the rat.
You might get rid of the rat. It'll do you something more than anything.
I think tonight we as a church ought to ask God to put a love in our heart. Our brother and our sister, and we cried tonight. I feel like to say, I'm not. I'm teaching the call of the Lord. Come to the call.
Oh, I don't want to interfere.
Well, I don't either. There's a way you can help somebody who's had a mouth without being lonely, without being smart.
There's a young lady coming. I've been seeing her the other day.
He's coming to us all the time. He's not coming anymore. And when I seen her, the day the Lord helped me, I started saying about that.
I could have been a militant fundamentalist professor.
Well, buddy, Joe, you're doing things the way you're living now. I tell you right there, you have a human spirit left. Well, the Lord helped me. And I said, well, some of my brothers are out and out.
It's from our sister. They used to find dogs. They used to bend it. They used to play.
And they're out.
They're out.
What are we going to do about it? I hate the money that he's a Jew. And I know. I somebody asked me for my advice, I'll give them. But I don't want to spend my money to he's a Jew. Because you know a lot of times when people have church for a while, they're wondering why we hunt and try to help them.
Now, if you try, they might say, I don't want your help. Leave me alone. And all that stuff.
You're wondering why I'm doing that.
I know I've been doing it. I know I have. I always say, well, you got yourself in that mess. Why didn't you get yourself out?
You know, that's not that. You got him like that. I know the man. Right now, he's not here. Right? And then he says, I know that. He's my friend. I guarantee that to you, right now. I guarantee you I can tell him that's more than mine. Please talk to me. He said, brother, I need your life. My car's not for me to meet. I guarantee you.
I guarantee you. Me and him love each other. We went to church so many times. We tried together. I'm trying to help him.
The Bible says a man yields attention to his father. He's
Who's going to do the restoring? Now, a bunch of sick people that ain't spiritual, if they go try to jump on the back spider, they'll drive him gone. The Bible said if a man be overtaken in a fall, maybe one of our brothers and sisters falls out of church and they quit. Ye which are spiritual. Now, who's that? I thought, what is being spiritual? I don't know. I don't know what. Somebody said, oh, being spiritual, but they is giving up this and that. No. I believe you can give up that brother. I know some people. They don't drink. They don't smoke. They don't ride along high. They don't go to the movies. And son, they're just as full of them. And as full of drunk. And we all need to. What would you mean? Define it for me,
preacher. Okay. Well, I don't know.
I know when somebody's got it, but you can't put your finger on what it is. I can point out two people in here tonight that I think are spiritual people, but I couldn't really pinpoint what makes them spiritual. It's kind of like that old black preacher that used to get up every Sunday morning and preach. And he hadn't been preaching long, and he had his first sermon, and he'd preach a little bit, and every Sunday morning he'd call on his own deacon to pray. And his own deacon every Sunday morning he'd say, Lord, give I preacher Lord, give I preacher. And he'd pray that prayer. Next Sunday morning he'd say, Brother Stone's going to give me this prayer before the message. Lord, give I preacher unction. Give I preacher unction, Lord. And every Sunday he'd say that same prayer. And one day, somebody comes in one time and he says, Brother, you've been praying for our preacher to have this unction. All we do. So just what is that unction? That old brother said, I don't know what it is, but I know what it is. And everyone, you can't tell what unction is. Oh, when the great and healing, when he looked me up, he said, you don't know, nobody knows what unction is. You can sure tell when a preacher ain't got it. We call it being plugged in. That's about as close as I've done it, you know. Say, well, sure, he's plugged in the other night, you know. I guess it's when the Lord's flowing through you, the Spirit's working through you, and your life's clean like a pipeline. I don't really know what it is. But I know what it ain't. And being spiritual, the same thing. I don't really know what it is. But I know there's a bunch of stuff that ain't spiritual going on. I know that. All right, you with your spirit. If you're not like yourself, leave them alone. I've seen people in a church that one of the women backslide. Maybe some woman got herself messed up, or maybe one of the brothers fell and got out of church. And here comes Mr. Miss Fancy Mouth over there, and she's going to straighten her out. And she goes over there and says, I just think it's terrible what you've done. I'm not trying to push you or judge you, but if I can hit you, you let me know. That's the story. If we would act that way towards most people that backslide, wouldn't say backslide if we would act that way. But what happens is, they see him and get out, and Lord help us, we'll make it worse on them by firing at them, by talking about them, and when they come walking in the room, turn our heads, and y'all need to. Just like that, there ain't no wonder some of them quit. They shouldn't, but it ain't no wonder. You want to be spiritual. All right, what does the next part of the verse mean? Restore. What does the word restore mean? I've heard people say, I'm going to restore this antique. I'm going to restore this saddle. What does that mean? It means to bring back to its original or former condition. Like it was when it was used. Here's a Christian. He's up here serving God. Father, he's in sin. We need to do our spiritual restore. If he can get back up there where he was, in the spirit of me. Don't say, well, you're doing in the mud. You've changed the name of Jesus. God has changed it. He knows he's saying the name of Jesus. He knows the only thing. He knows all that you want to say. What does meekness mean? Courteous, kind, merciful, patient, mild, and not easily angry. Not easy to get mad at. When it goes wrong, it's easy to get mad. Boy, I get mad. Here the other night, some girl doing a disco, and there's no missing mail pad. And he got up there and said, this one's open, you're this. And she goes, are you mad about it? That's the second time that's happened. One year, The girl doesn't want it.
None of this stuff.
Y'all know how I hate this stuff. I mean, literally, I'd rather them tell y'all live in a sewer. That makes me mad. Why you not? Why you? No, that ain't the way to go. I mean, she didn't know about that. That's some parents' fault. Kids get, well, they don't know no better, folks ain't talk no better. We're not supposed to get mad at them. Brady said the other night, it's the funniest thing. Brady said, that's how Walton believes God. Brady goes, now we're going to pull away. And thing had been so. You know what I said? He said he got a Bible to him. They brought in a bunch of kids off the street. He said he got up and started saying that. Walton believes by dancing. They got out the house by dancing, man. They got to walk in the day down. He said he went. He said he didn't know what to do. And he said he'd back up saying, hey, that's pretty good. That's good. They was bugging, brother, in the house. And the Lord gave Brother Brady wisdom. And he said, I didn't say nothing to him that night. He said, next night I come back and he said, I'm there's a difference between rock music and gospel music. And he tried to explain to me. That's what our attitude is. I was in church one night. And a bunch of kids came out and I prayed, two girls came out and I prayed. These two girls had on blue jeans. He said, I've seen it, heard it in my own ears. He said, to myself, you don't get saved tonight? First time you ever been in front of a church, I mean, he's about having a heart attack somebody. Now, if you girls got saved, you go home and get them things off, you come in and dress right this morning. I heard that on my own ears. Pastor! In this town! He wanted everybody to know he wasn't talking about it. So, I think that some of the brethren are so afraid of compromising that they have compromised to please their friends and not pleasing God. Brother, you can be so scared of compromising, you'll compromise to please that crowd you run around with. You want to spare it. Is there any one of our people going to hell that's unspiritual and spiritual by the way? My soul, it ain't no. You go in and have a church and preach like I'm preaching tonight and try to hold it to you. You try the whole thing on it. This is an exceptional church. I mean, we're a long way from perfect, see? You ought to go to some of them. I mean, you know what? I think everybody in this church ought to do about once a year. Take you a vacation. Go drive another road somewhere and stop and visit the First Baptist Church you come to. Good for your education. Especially some of you that ain't never been nowhere but here. You talk about a shock, man. You'd be in for one. Well, let me move on right quick. From the 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Talking about restoring a brother. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Now, this story here, Paul was writing to him about inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He was talking about a man that sinned. Now, some preachers teach that this is talking about the man that committed fornication back there in the first century society. And that very well may be. Matter of fact, I believe it probably is. I can't prove it, but I believe it probably is. How many of you know about the man in the first century society who was committing fornication in the church? All right. Most plays up there, I'll tell you. In the church, there was a guy living in open sin with his stepmother. I mean, his daddy's wife. He just went to fornication. Everybody in the church knew that sin was going on. And he told him in 1 Corinthians 5 to deliver him over to the devil, that his flesh may be destroyed. Now, there's a lesson there, folks. When we're going to restore somebody back to him, we don't compromise women to get on the side. We don't put our approval on those sins. That's a no-no. That's a no-no. We don't go buddy-buddy up there and say, well, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that. No, that's the wrong way. you that impression. You don't go along with them in their sin. You love them in spite of their sin. They know that you don't approve of it, but you put your friends and you care about them and you love them anyway. You don't go over and give them this attitude that you and you are going to say God, we can get spirit. No, that's wrong. You ain't going to restore them that way. You're not going to get them out of the mud by getting in the mud with them. See? You're to go down there and help them out of the mud. If you get down in there with them, you're going to have to get somebody to help you out. So he said, turn them over to the devil. He ain't going to straighten up. And the Lord's getting it, maybe so. But, in all probability, that old boy got lost. And rededicated his life. Because look here in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. He said, I wrote you a letter, and you made your star, and this, and that, and all this stuff. Verse 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and verse 4. Everybody listen now. I'm going to plow right on through the throat in just a second. Not a second. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote unto you with many tears. He said, I was crying when I wrote this first letter to you. Crying. Tears. Not that ye should be grieved, but that ye might know the love which I have more abundantly than you. Verse 5. But if any have caused grief for my sin in the church, he hath not grieved me, but in part, that I may not overcharge you all. Look at that now, verse 6. Sufficient to such a man is this punishment which was inflicted of me. His punishment. Verse 7. So that contrary wise ye ought rather to forgive him. Lest perhaps such an one should be swallowed up in overmuch sorrow. Stop it there a second. Somebody sins and then they're trying to get right, they've been backslidden, and you make it hard on them, their life is just taken. Oh, I forsook my sins, I left my sinful friends. You're against me. Now the devil's against me. Strong Christian friends are against me. Always me. And they're swallowed up. They're going to swallow. They're going to give up. I believe there's been many Christians right here right now who have tried to give up. Because people never would forgive them for what they've done wrong. Oh, you say, Brother Danny, they have no right. I know they have no right. You ain't had no right to do all things you've done. I ain't had no right to do a lot of things I've done. There's been times when you people, you've had the right to kick me out of this place. I ain't had no right to stand behind this place of death. Thank God, it took some people in this house. There's been times when I can kick one of you out too, you know. Verse 8. Wherefore I beseech you, that you will confirm your love to me. For this end also did I write. Now think about that one fact for right now. It's not here. For this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether you will be obedient in all things. And whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. Or if I forgive anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sake, forgive it, I'm the person of Christ. And lo and behold, look what we're running into right in this discussion. Lest Satan give me advantage of that. Isn't that amazing that corresponds with Galatians chapter 6 that says, lest ye also be tempted? Isn't that amazing? He just kept talking about restoring a brother and forgetting, and the next verse says, the devil. Listen, if they built 500 liquor stores for marriage, it couldn't hurt this church one day. If they sold drugs on every street in this town, they couldn't stop this thing. One thing stop this thing. And that's the love. It's the devil. That's it. The devil can't touch this church from the outside, brother. It's bulletproof. They can criticize us all they want to criticize us. They can lie about us. They can cuss us. I mean, they can pray that we'd die. We'll never hurt this church. The only thing that will hurt this church is for us to let the devil get in us. Me to let the devil get in me. You to let the devil get in you. That's it. There ain't nothing else that can hurt this church. Brother God protects us when we want to be protected. The only way to let us willingly let the devil get in us. Get soured. Get satisfied. that this attitude is not a Christian spirit.
Well, what about this man in prison, brother? Nobody cares.
And one day,
there's a little track in the floor, and nobody found a green plant to go up through that track. He kept it long, and he took a little bit of his water that they gave him every day. His water. And that thing grew up, and that light, and that sunshine, and that little wind, and all about a little pretty cloud coming down the back of the water. Boy, he changed his mind. He said how God took care of him. He said how he took a little bit of that water and put it on that cloud. And he said, you know what, I lost that bit to me. Like I took care of this cloud. And scratched out nobody to me. And got off this way. Consider it ourselves. While you're looking at another thing, you can fall. So I believe there's three things that we ought to do tonight. We're going to get back to what I'm using. Provide three things. Number one,
right hand. Hey, there's a soldier in Japan when the war was over, and when he came up, Japan was losing. He got off and went out on an island because he was afraid.
And for 28 years, about 27 years, I guess, the war was over. He stayed up on that island. He ate rats, fish, anything he could get a hold of to stay alive. And he ate these things because he's scared that the enemy would give him. It's a 20-something years in the Bible. I believe there's people out there tonight that's going out there scared of who. They don't realize the Lord's going to make a difference. At least it's not. They just don't know.
Somebody
has to
do it. Right after you. What should I do? Not when we think. When we think about it, how could she? How could he?
I couldn't have to do it. And when you could.
Now, if some of you don't get this message tonight, you're going to mess up. Some of you have already sitting there tonight saying, I have. I raised my hand. I don't know about y'all. I've been laid low, bro. All right. How's he handle it? Here's how I love you, Henry. Well, I forgive him. But I'll tell you one thing. I'll never speak to him. What sudden forgiveness you got that? I mean, what if you come up here and got saved? What if you come up here and say, oh, God, forgive me my sin? And the Lord said, I forgive you, but I'll never speak to you again. And the Lord never dealt with you no more. He never blessed you no more. He said, I'll see you in heaven. Make it the best you can. Bye. And then ask you what to heaven he wouldn't even speak to. You try to think, well, he didn't really forgive me. Right. If you ever really forgive. No, I have something. I'm the type of person, I know some of you women especially, you get one thing at somebody and it takes you for years to get over it. I don't know why you're like that. I wish you wasn't. You are. Some of the dumbest little old things. Women can get mad at each other over the silliest things. I mean, stay mad for years. Now, sometimes it's something big. Most of it is. I'm the type of person I like to get along with people. I think some people just like to be mad. They get some kind of a thrill out of being mad. They just love to be mad at somebody all the time. And they pick them out somebody to get mad at. You know, a person like that's got problems, bro. They got problems. I like to. Everybody get along, man. Let's a good time roll. Let's have a big time. Hallelujah. Grin at each other. Hug neck. That's the way I am. I'm naturally that way. Matter of fact, I've smoothed over stuff like you folks wouldn't believe. Try to keep peace and harmony. I put myself in the middle. I said, take that on me. Hit me here. I've done that a lot of times. Just so people get along and have some life with each other. There's at least one person in my life that I think is bad against. Bad. Once you really get into somebody, hard. I mean, when you really hate somebody, bro, it's hard. God don't do it. You can't do it like that. You can't do it. You say, I don't want to feel this way. I know I shouldn't hate them, but I do. God has to know. You dream about beating them up in your sleep. Have you ever done that? Raise your hand. Oh! I've had them beating their teeth out, kicking them, stomping them. I've dreamed that before. You got to get over that. You got to get over that. You can't keep living like that. You can't keep going on. Your life full of hate. Oh, you don't know what they done to me. Yeah, I don't know what all you've done against the Lord either. He sure has been awful merciful with you. And then, the last thing is when you do get around them or they come back to church, provide them the right atmosphere. Make them feel comfortable. You make the circumstances. Okay, brother dog, you come here and sit down right here and sit. Now, Brother Dale, you come, Brother Ralph, you come, Brother Bobby, you come. Come on, brethren. Okay, let's just say he ain't got on no tie. He's been backslid. Circle they can see. Oh, backslid. Donnie McKinney. I heard he got drunk last week. Everybody at the church knows. God! All right, here comes me and these brethren. Come on, brethren. Here we come in, sir. All right, here we come in. Hey, Brother Ralph. Hey, man. Hey, Brother Dale. Glory to God, brother. Hey, Bobby. Amen. Hey, I hope you get right. God, I say, boy, hey, you sing this verse on here, boy. Oh, Lord, give me a blessing. Oh, glory to God. That's what you would believe that first over here. Let's go in here, boy. Let's sing and cry. Hallelujah. Come on, Lord. Let's go sing and cry. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Boy, we're making him feel good, ain't we? And we seem about it. Oh, you see? And you look that way, brother. You look that way. All right. Now I'm looking at it. Sinful thing. Look at that square. Sinful. And I've noticed this. I've noticed that the women, you know which women they hate? That's the truth. The women always hate the ones that put it because deep down inside they're jealous of them. Well, they get mad at the ugly ones. They'll fire them. If they miss church time, please say, bless her heart. She needs our prayers. I mean, it's the pretty ones starting that heifer, that huggy. I mean, she probably ain't going to tell what she's doing. It's always the pretty ones. I bet you think your husband thinks she's pretty, and that's why you hate her guts. I didn't plan on saying that. I'll say it anyway. Okay. Now watch here. Now, he's going to look at me. I'm staring at him. Watch what I do when he starts looking at me. Now you look back that way, brother. I felt him starting to look at me, and I turned my head. Have you ever seen anybody do that? You feel them starting to look at you, and when you see their head turn, you look this way. And you kind of look. All right, now what should our attitude be? Okay, come on, boys, let's try again. Brother Donnie comes in. He's been backslid for a while. He sits down on the back row. Here we come in. Brother, good to see you. How's everything been going? Amen. Hey, good to see you. Praise the Lord. Has everything been going all right? Praise the Lord. It's a blessing to see you. Amen. Now, don't you think you'd say, they love me. They love me. He's going to come up and he's going to come up here to the altar. And he's going to rededicate his life. And he's going to be restored. And he's going to say, Lord, God, I love you. There is no telling how many people have had a life of God. Because churches in this town have had a lifelong attitude. So it's disgusting. You know, when Carissa was in the hospital, it didn't feel right. I was worried about it. And I go home, especially at night, man, going to bed. I go to bed at night, but I think, my daughter's locked down in the hospital. I pray for her, I was worried about it. We've got brothers and sisters in our family. The devil's got them, they've got kids. And our mind ought to be on them. So like I said, I could call some names. Probably 50 or 60. Why don't we get some of them stolen? I'm not saying come on and say, not a fault. Don't put on a fault. They can tell it. They can tell it. You know, if you don't really mean it, you better off leave them alone. I'm just saying. I mean, don't go over and say, and they can tell you just putting it on because, you know, I preach on it. Really love it. So considering myself, maybe you. I want to say tonight to anybody who's here, if you fell by the wayside and I haven't shown you the love that I ought to show you, don't you know I'm sorry. Maybe it's my pride, maybe it's just my own stubborn. Don't you know I'm sorry. Don't you know I do love you. And I love you as much as I love somebody who hasn't left you. And I'd do just as much for you as I would somebody who's a deacon or a preacher or a Sunday school teacher or what, I'd do just as much for you as I would them. I'm not trying to sound holy or pious. I mean that. I'm trying to tell you. Don't you let the devil tell you, lady. Don't you let the devil tell you, Brother Danny's going to play favorites when he likes them because they do this, he don't like me. That's a lie. I'm crazy over some people come to this church and don't even know. I think about you during the week and pray for you. And how I'd love to see you get in there and get on fire for God. I mean that tonight. I think maybe somebody here tonight suffers. Something they need to get right. Maybe the Lord ain't going to let us start a new church until we get a lot of things right and don't do that right. I don't know. I ain't saying it. I don't know. Thank God for what He's done for us. We're a long way from perfect. It's time we die. Humble ourselves. Walk up that brother. Put your arm around her neck. Stop letting you. Get it, son. Get it.